while the sun shines in Jamaica and the moon shines in London.
Now to the green gullies of Walkerswood. We take you straight to the spiritual hill on the white sands of Ontario's. We bring to you straight out of Kingston, Jamaica.
Along the coast, into the heart of Ontario's, through the curves and turns of Fern Gully, to the green hills of Walkerswood.
Because if you come from Clarendon, and if you come from Portland, and if you come from Westmoreland.
Looking out in Jamaica, no one can touch Kingston City.
Jamaica, 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 Jamaica.
So we love you, Jamaica. So we love you, Jamaica.
Hey. Kingston, St. Catherine, Clarendon, Manchester, Westmoreland, St. James, Trelawney.
Me just love Jamaica, love Jamaica, love Jamaica. The crucial love Jamaica. Me just love Jamaica.
Bullet, 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 bullet.
Prima, jungle, leave you, bato, devaligiana.
Why? Put your radio on low. Put your radio on low. I said put your radio on low.
Welcome to another episode of Jamaica Way Reggae Podcast. Rich Lowe with you here, and we're going to feature Lloyd Mason tonight. Who's Lloyd Mason? Well, by the end of this podcast, you're going to know. And he's an important person, a pivotal person in Jamaican music. He is a bassist who recorded on first two albums, long-playing albums that Cox Ondaid recorded, which are I Cover the Waterfront, released on Portajam, recorded at Federal, featuring Cecil Lloyd, Lloyd Mason, Rolando Alfonso, Lowell Morris, and the great Don Drummond. And Lloyd Mason is also featured on the Jazz Jamaica album, also recorded at Federal Studios, which featured Don Drummond, Ernie Ranglin, Cecil Lloyd, Carl McLeod, Billy Cook, Tommy McCook, Roland Alfonso, and Lloyd Mason. And tonight, we're going to hear selections from those two albums, along with an interview that I did with the great Lloyd Mason. The interview itself is going to cover just really a thumbnail of Lloyd Mason's history. There really is so much to Lloyd Mason's career. He was with the military band for over 30 years. He started at Stony Hill School, which is like a very similar school to the famed Alpha School in Jamaica. Stony Hill's where Roland Alfonso went to school, and Lloyd Mason went to school with Roland Alfonso, same time period. Say they were classmates. So let's jump right into this. This is Lloyd Mason speaking about his early years at age 5, listening to Val Bennett at house parties.
Because in those days, you have several bands, you know, several orchestras all around the place, and they play for house parties. But I didn't know anything about house parties. I just heard the music playing, and I went down there.
How
the whole night.
How old must have you been?
When I went, when my mother took me to my grandmother, I was about 5.
Oh my gosh!
Because I was going to private school in those days.
What other orchestras were there at the time when you were little, and you didn't discover that till you got older, but who were the other bands at the time?
You called for them, Kirk Deans and River Cook.
Thank you.
Remember looking at it right now. I was in the trail looking at him, and he went to my mother, and they hugged and kissed, and he said, "Where's the boy?" And she said, "Look up in the tree, you see him there? He's right up in the tree there." And he said, "Come down, boy, come down." So when I went down, when I came down up the tree, he held me in my hand and he said, "Listen, your mother told me that's why I'm here. You're not bad, but you're unruly. And I'm going to see to it that you go somewhere where you can learn something, music or something. I know the bandmaster at Stonehill Industrial School. And I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to get you there before I leave." That's the way my music started. The bandmaster and my father, you know, they are musicians, so they knew each other. And what happened is this, that my father connected with the bandmaster there and said, "Yeah, he's going to try to get me at that school." At the time, it was two schools, Alpha Boys School, run by the sisters, the Catholic school, and Stonehill School was run by the government. But we had bands in both schools. Now, before I go there, I had to go before the judge. My father took me there in front of the judge, put on some nice clothes on me, and dressed me up, and took me. I was about 10 years old, that is. I can't remember, 10 years old, 1945. And he took me before the judge, and the judge asked him, "Where he wants me to go?" And he says, His mother preferred Alpha, but I prefer Stony Hill. Because Stony Hill is far away. Alpha is right here. He's going to run away again. I can remember that clearly. And he says, okay, we send him to Stony Hill School. And about 3 or 4 days after, they came for me and took me up to Stony Hill, where I met the bandmaster and the superintendent and other boys in the band. And about 6 months after, the bandmaster sent for me, and I went into the band. And he looked at my fingers and my mouth and said, "Now listen, young boy, your father and I served in the army and the police force. He went to Nassau. I am going to pick an instrument for you, and I'm going to give you this instrument, which is the fife. You know those six-hole fifes? It didn't carry like the concert flute or anything. Just six holes and six keys." And said, "You're going to learn this. And this is your instrument from now on." And I took it. And there was a guy named Kurt Johnson. You must have heard of him, a bass player.
Clue J.
Clue J. You know him.
Yes, sir.
You know him. Clue J. His brother was there, not him himself. His brother was there, Gurney Johnson. He used to play the piccolo. And I was taught by him to play the piccolo. And from then on, I went on, you know, moving up the grades, going to school. You know, you have to, certain time you go to school, certain time you go to practice, certain time you play. Certain time, you know, it was very nice, you know. That's how I started, my musical thing started. That's where I started playing music.
Roland Alfonso must have been there at that time too, right?
Who was that?
Roland Alfonso?
Yes. Oh, you met Roland Alfonso?
Yes, sir.
Roland Alfonso was there before you. Roland Alfonso was a side drummer, you know. He used to play a drum. Roland Alfonso used to play a drum. Another thing.
Did he have freckles back in those days? He had the big eyes. Did he have freckles?
Yeah. Handsome guy. Yeah. Roland used to play a drum. A lot of people knew Roland when he started to play saxophone. But so Roland didn't learn saxophone at school. Roland came out from school and learned the saxophone on the street. But he was a side drummer. You understand? And one day, I have to give you this story about Roland, too. One day, the band went to, the school band was very good, you know, very, very good. And we went to Port Antonio to play one Sunday. We went to Port Antonio to play for some hotel down there. I can't remember the name of the hotel. And during the course of the time, the bandmasters started to play calypso. And we boys, we didn't know anything about playing those things on a Sunday. Because it was so, you know, we are so brought up there that you don't do certain things on a Sunday. And we start to quarrel and talk about it. And in coming back from the engagement, the truck that we went into turned over. And Roland Alfonso's head was swollen. A lot of people's head was swollen. And I don't know how I get out of there. But I see this opening right at the front of the truck. And I walk right to it and come out. I was there taking out the rest of people on the street. Taking out, pulling them on the sidewalk and all those things. So Roland Alfonso was there. Another guy named Nicky O'Brien, you know him?
That I don't know. Nicky O'Brien.
Nicky O'Brien, yes. He's a saxophonist. He had a school in you should have known him because he was good. And other people you don't know, but that's where everything started again. Roland Alfonso was a drummer.
Who are some of the other names that did end up playing in bands or recording aside from Nicky O'Brien?
You had some of them I don't even remember their name, but I know they were good musicians. All of us were, you know, we were very good musicians. You know, the band was very good. Because we used to go in competition with Alpha. You know, just not anything to worry about. We used to say, Alpha Band is this, and we better than Alpha Band. Alpha Band is this. So when we go somewhere sometime to play at a fair, because those days there are a lot of fairs, you know, all around the place. So when we go somewhere and we see them, we always boast on one another, you know what I mean? after about 3-4 years in the band, the flute and piccolo player in the military band, his name was Spud Murphy. This man was so great. He was a drum major for the army, and he was a flute player and piccolo player for the band. And he was so great in playing these piccolo solos, flashy solos, you know. And I think when I heard of him, I didn't hear him play. But they tell me about this Spud Murphy. Up to today, they still call me Spuddy. They gave me his name.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, they gave me his name. They called me Spuddy. Our boy Mason in the band.
And Spud,
you know,
Spud Murphy must have been much older than you, right?
That's what I'm telling you. I took his place because he was an old man. Mm-hmm. He was an old man. And when I say old, you know, he's a big man. In the days in the military band, all those men are big men. No boys. I was the youngest man there after I went. But going into the military band now, I was marked to come into the military band after a while, you know. So when I left school at the age of 16, I started to work there as an apprentice at the school, waiting for the opportunity to go in the military band. That's what they did. So I worked there for about a year, and then I get the call, and I went down and took the test and everything.
Took the test?
The test, yes. You have to read it. You have to read it. Remember, I know, the flute and piccolo is a stand by himself. You haven't got another, like a clarinet player, three clarinet player, one stand. The oboe, which I play, the flute, and those things are one stand. You have to manage your stand alone. You understand?
And then tell me about the test itself. It's an audition, correct?
No, they knew my position already that I'm playing.
Okay.
But when you go there now, you're actually in a test because they call you young hands. Young hands, that's what they call you, young hand. And you have to stay there. When everybody gone in the evening, you have to stay there and practice until 4 o'clock, you know, and practice.
Who marked you to go from Stony Hill to the military band?
You see what happened? It was coming up for time for Mr. Spud Murphy to retire. And at the time, there wasn't anybody to take his place in the military band. Not in Jamaica, no. You have guys that play the bamboo fife and all those things, but they weren't trained. You know, they didn't go to a school like the country people then. They will make it out of bamboo. And that's it. That's not it. You got to know your music. Because when you're going into a place like the military band, it's professional men you're dealing with.
Yeah, you're trained to read and write music, correct?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I never used to write it, but...
But you could if you wanted to.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Yes, sir.
Of course. And then I did that. I was in the military band there after Spuddy gone. And the first thing, now listen to this now. He was such a grand flute player that when a piccolo solo is being played by him, Oak Gardens, on a Sunday, people come out just to hear him play that piccolo solo. You understand? Because you have different solos, you know, piccolo solos. And the people came out to see him. When I joined the band, they gave me one to practice and play. The name of it was Deep Blue Sea and Cassiopeia. That's the name of the tool. And I studied them and rehearsed them on my own. And the very Sunday, they advertised in the paper when the band is going to play at Oak Gardens, you know. And they said, come and hear this wonderful boy taking over from Spud Murphy plays Peter solo. I didn't wait the evening because I was coming to work the same evening, the Sunday evening, when I met my wife, my present wife here now. I met her as a young girl and myself, and I was going to the band to change my uniform. It was a Sunday evening, and I stopped talking to this girl, and when I reached over in the box, the band has gone to Oak Garden a long time. And the people came out to hear me play this particular solo, and nobody heard me because I was absent. And the next morning, they put me into the jail, confined me to barracks.
Oh, gosh.
They confined me to the barracks for 2 weeks, where I have to go wash pots and clean the place and cut grass and all those things.
How many different bands were you in before you went to the studio?
Several. I used to play with my first job was with a guy named Aubrey Adams.
And the Dewdroppers.
No. Aubrey Adams is a very, 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 very grand pianist. I'm telling you. Anything you want to play, because he used to play in Panama. And when you hear him play that piano, you got to sit down and listen. And I used to play with him. And from there I went on to the Australians. You know, there were some Australians.
Dennis Sindry.
Dennis Sindry, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right now I have a cufflink, a pair of cufflinks that he gave me years ago, and I still have it.
What was was that Kez Chin at the time, or is that pre-Kez Chin?
Who's that?
I know Dennis had recruited a band to work with a gentleman by the name of Kez Chin.
Kez Chin.
So maybe you were playing with the Caribs then, eh?
The Caribs, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was the last bass before they left Merchant Bank Hotel.
Yes.
I was their bass player.
And in this section, Lloyd Mason talks about his first interaction with Coxsundad and some of the orchestras that he played with over the years. So you have Aubrey Adams, you have the Caribs.
Yes.
Who else did you play with?
I played with numerous orchestras and small groups. I played in a festival, 1958, and I won the Reed section, and I got a scholarship to the Jamaica School of Music, 1958, and I went down there, and then this is where my scholarship went down the ladder, because I was going to school, then Coxon come in now, and asked me to come play on his recordings.
So tell me about that first meeting with Coxon, if you recall, because it's many years ago. Tell me about your first meeting with Coxon.
Well, the first meeting with Coxon was at Studio One, down by Marcus Garvey Drive. That's where he was. I used to play with recording at Studio One. Have you ever heard about Ernest Ranglin?
Of course.
A guitarist?
Sure. Yes.
Right. Well, Ernest used to play guitar for him. And I used to play Don Drummond's, the trombone player.
Sure.
The Scatterlite. And quite a few of us used to play. And Ken Coors started at King Street in Jamaica. As you push the gate and go in, I think one room was right there. That's where Ken Coors started. And then till you go down to Federal. You understand?
Yes, sir.
But Coxon was there before Ken Coors. And that's where we did this guy here.
So you must have been at, I'm trying to pin this down. You must have been at a Coxon location, like he had a number of storefronts that he owned and businesses, like with his mother had a shop and he worked out of that shop, and then he bought a little rehearsal, he had a little rehearsal area with a piano in it.
Yes. Yes. But he had a two-truck system.
Thank you.
my first time in a recording studio, I told you, was it Tenkuri at King Street where we started.
And then who hired you to go to Ken Curry's studio?
It's a lawyer. A lawyer named Nipi Toughpool, another grand piano player. He died some years ago. Nipi Toughpool. He was the one who took me down there to play. And the first thing that was recorded was Mark the Knife.
Oh, wow, okay. A standard.
Mark the Knife was recorded.
As they say, a standard tune at the time, and to this day it still is.
Yeah.
And was that was that released? Did you actually release that song?
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't know. Yes, he released it. And I didn't know that I was supposed to get any money from it. I don't think it's something they're trying. And I didn't get any money for it. And it grew and grew and grew till he went to... He went down to Federal now. That's what they named Federal.
Who did they credit the Mac the Knife cover to?
The what?
What was the band name credited for Mac the Knife? Do you recall what the attorney called the band?
No, it's just maybe the full orchestra. But it was the full orchestra. When we were down there at the studio, after a while, a little guy named Monty Alexander. Have you ever heard of him?
Sure, another pianist.
Right. He used to come around. He used to go to Jamaica College. And he used to hide away from Jamaica College and come down to the studio. Right there. And the first bass, the first bass that Coxon brought in after the acoustic bass, was an electric bass shaped like this. It's shaped like the acoustic bass, but it's small. And the first man that played that bass was Monty Alexander. I didn't know he could play the guitar, but he knew something about the guitar, and he used it, the guitar experience, and played that bass. And Coxon looked at us and said, "This is what you have to get with now. This big bass is coming out of style." And I bought this in America, and I bring it down. Somebody got to do it. And the first man that played that bass was Monty Alexander. And after that, Monty Alexander would not go back to JC. I had to take him there on my motorbike, and he left his book, come back out, and I took him down to the studio. And after the studio, I took him up back to the school, and he took his book, and I took him home. That's how the whole thing goes. So many things.
probably Veer Johns too. Did you do Veer Johns?
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Man, you're coming back to me now, man. Veer Johns. I used to play. There was a guy named Corbett. He plays bass. He used to be with Frankie Bonito. Have you heard about Frankie Bonito?
No, sir.
Frankie Bonito was a grand piano player, man. You know, Frankie Bonito used to play for who am I talking about here now?
Frankie Bonito, Veer Johns.
Right. Frankie Bonito used to be the piano for Veer Johns. Opportunity knocks. And that those things used to be kept on Palace Theatre, Ambassador Theatre, and all those places. But the person who used to win instrumentally most of these things when you go against him is Roland. Everywhere Roland go, Roland is a winner. What a winner. I went there one time with my piccolo and I got a booed. They booed me up the stage.
And where was that? Which theater was that at? You remember?
Palace Theater.
And was Roland there? Was Roland there that night too?
Yes.
Darn him anyhow.
Yes. It was good.
Hey, tell me about a competition, maybe Veer Johns, where you didn't get booed, where they applauded, where maybe you won.
Okay. I tried and tried with Veer Johns. And you remember this tune coming in, Lick Willie?
Sure.
You remember that song? Da da da. Da da da. Remember that song?
I do.
I say, all right, I'm going to go down there with Lick Willie. And I practiced Lick Willie for about 3 weeks. I know everything that was on the tape. And I practiced it. And I went back to audition with Veer Johns at Palace Theatre. And they put me on the section where musicians play. That was called Other Acts. Apart from the singers, Other Acts. And when they said, now we are going to bring on again for you, Lloyd Mason, playing Lick Willie. And when I went on, man, he didn't say, oh, no, 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 you're coming again. And I jump in, man, and I started to play it. I get that theater rocking. And that people started to clap and everything. And I played it right on. And I won the night. I get 30 shillings. And before I left the theater, I believe I left it about 5 shillings. Everybody wants a sixpence, a shilling from me. You know what I mean?
That's the Jamaica way.
Yes. They give it to you and take it back from you. Thank you.
First time you saw Coxon was in a Dr. No recording, and then and who else was in that recording session with you playing?
Ernie Rundlin. Ernie Rundlin.
I think you said Cecil Lloyd.
Cecil Lloyd, yes. Dan Drummond, trombone player, and. A guy used to play drums. He was the guy who plays all those drums for Ska.
Drumbago?
Oh man! Oh, yeah, Drumbago man. Cause him say, sometimes he just stop playing drums and say, "You people gonna give me water knee, man." You know the thing, man. You're talking. You're good.
Thank you. I'm doing my homework, sir.
John Bagel. Oh my God. Then you have to have Duke Reed. You know Duke Reed?
Sure. Treasure Isle.
Treasure Isle. Ba da do do. Da da. Da 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 da. And you have a lot of them.
So the Dr. No, if you were in the Dr. No session, you must have seen Carlos Malcolm there, correct?
Carlos, listen to me. Oh my God. I will talk to you for a bit. Carlos Malcolm, listen to me what I'm saying. The first group that Carlos Malcolm started, it started with me on the flute, because you know he's Spanish, right? Yeah, right. Now, he started a group, listen to what I'm saying. He started a group, and we used to rehearse at his house, right on by Marion Road there. We used to rehearse there. And the group consists of him, Carlos Malcolm, trombone, me, flute and piccolo, his sister used to play the piano, Lenny Hibbert, remember Lenny Hibbert?
The great Lenny Hibbert.
Yeah, Lenny Hibbert used to play drums, Noel Seal used to play conga drums. And himself, trombone. And the first group that ever played under Carlos Monk was that group. The first group. We used to play down by King Street there at the pier there. What's the name of the pier? At the pier on King Street, at the bottom of King Street, right at the waterfront there. That's where we used to play.
Was it an outdoor event or indoor?
Huh?
Was it outdoor or indoor event?
Well, upstairs where it's indoor.
Okay.
And downstairs where it's open, you know. You have to be careful how you play music there or anything, because sometimes the wind and it blows off the things off the stand. Mm-hmm. But after a while, we went upstairs. And then now, he decided that he would just get rid of the small group and get a big group named Afro-Jamaican, Afro-something or other. But Afro-Jamaican rhythm. But that's what we were named.
So you were
calling into you.
You were right there at the beginning.
Yes. You're bringing back things to me I couldn't even remember. Those are the days.
Hey, we want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Jamaica Way Reggae Podcast. If you like what you're listening to, there's a variety of other episodes available, and we're having to start to peel off some of the older episodes in order to make room for new ones. So keep track of what you listen to. If you like to hear some old ones, we can post old ones back again. Just send us a message via Podomatic and spread the word to your friends. Any comments you can make on Podomatic, any comments you can make on iTunes, very helpful to kind of spread the message. That would be greatly appreciated. I'd appreciate it. And if you will like more of what you're listening to, just go to reggaejamaicaway.com. reggaejamaicaway.com. On that site, there's video, written information, radio show that we do on a weekly basis, and also this podcast lists them all out and gives you lots to enjoy. So welcome to people from all over the world. It's truly amazing how far-reaching reggae music can be. And so east, west, north, and south, welcome to Jamaica Way Reggae Podcast. Please be a regular listener. I'm on your side. All reggae music-loving people.